Hey, you guys. So welcome to the podcast. My name's Andy Bruce. And today we're going to just jump right in. What you're going to listen to is a recording that my super good friend Melissa and I recorded last week. What we're talking about is this: what is happening with women gathering around the Bible? So if you have been at all around Melissa's YouTube channel or around this podcast, you know that this is what makes us tick. Is women who know God more by opening the pages of Scripture, and not just on their own, but with people. So I want to expose this thing that we've been working on called Bible Lab. So it's not at all to pitch or to sell. There's like literally nothing to sell or pitch to you, but instead give you a couple ways of thinking about the Bible, because here's what's true. Women who lead other women in a local church environment or in a little small group environment are really struggling, because this is what I hear all the time. What we used to do with these women's Bible study environments, it isn't working today. Why? And people will reach out to me kind of regularly and be like, Andy, why is what used to work not working anymore? What should I be doing? Help. Like, what resource should I use? So if you are a woman who enjoys gathering around the Bible with your people, or you facilitate in that environment, man, I'm not pitching. There's literally nothing to pitch Bible Lab to you, but I do want to talk about this because maybe you're going to catch on to an idea or a way of approaching things that's different, or a way of just adding one tiny element to what you and your people do when you gather around the Bible. This is my friend Melissa Dunn. You're listening to the Leader Lab podcast, a podcast that inspires women to step up and step out in leadership to fulfill their God-given callings. My name is Andy Bruce, and I'm so passionate about helping women develop their character and understand their callings that I went out and got a doctorate in leadership. Now I'm investing in and partnering with women leaders just like you who love Jesus and raise their hand saying, God, if you're looking for someone to use, I'm right here. So let's talk about how. How do we step into what that looks like? So friends, today, my really, really good friend, Melissa Dunn. Hi, Melissa.
Hey, friends.
Is here, and we're talking about something that we're working on together, and Melissa has certainly been like leading the charge on something called Bible Lab. So let me catch you up really quick, because there's a few reasons why I wanted to bring you guys into this conversation. First, you guys have probably heard me mention Bible Lab or working on something with Melissa or developing content about the Bible. And it feels weird to have a conversation that you guys don't have context. And so we're working right now on it so much. We're in the trenches with this content. Therefore, I think you're going to be hearing about it more and more. I was like, duh, why not just give you guys the scope, the picture of what's happening? So Melissa's here. Many of you guys know her. If you don't, oh my goodness, go follow her on YouTube. She makes these really engaging Bible-based videos that are pretty short and sweet, 8 to 15 minutes long. Go to YouTube, search Melissa Dunn Teaches the Bible. Is that right?
Sure.
Okay, great. So Melissa, tell us a couple things about who you are.
Oh, see, we're starting off. I'm not prepared for this. Who am I? Well,
I know it's real out of left field.
I'll tell you some things that I love. I'm loving my marriage these days. Aww. Like my husband and I, man, we are really loving the empty nest. So our daughter, Adeline, she's 21. She is living on her own. And I don't know. It's a really sweet season.
Why is it different compared to when Adeline was living at home?
Well, there's just some freedom that we have, you know, without having Andy's shaking her head. No, she does not understand. Like, I don't know. It feels like we're back to our first married days, but those were very terrible days. So we don't want to go back there. I don't know. We have a lot of together time. And also,
like, you could be spontaneous.
Be spontaneous.
Yes. Not feel as responsible to, and, like,
and
make
having
dinner.
An adult live with you. I think there's tension there that just happens. You know what I mean? With an adult.
That
and it's
sense.
Just him and I, and not another adult in our home.
Yep.
So there's that. Also, I've been working on for maybe almost 5 years now, a lot of internal work with my sexual abuse. And I've had a lot of freedom. And in the last year, that freedom has really centered on my marriage and some things in that. So it's just been, that's wonderful. And I'm loving doing YouTube and Bible Lab and doing ministry with you. I'm in a really fun season of life.
That's awesome.
I'm tired this moment. But.
Yeah, we're super tired. So if you hear dragginess, you're right. Yeah. You've got the right pulse. So, hey, question. I don't think I've ever asked you. Want to go personal real quick?
Oh,
it's not weird.
Okay.
And it's super vague. Do you feel like because it's been 5 years of leaning into healing from lots of deep wounds and trauma, do you feel like you're getting toward the tail end of that?
I hope so. I think so. I think so. And it's really been in this last year. So the first 4 years felt like, and I don't know what it looked like to you on the outside looking in, but for me from the inside, it felt like, is this working? I want to quit. What in the world is wrong with me? It felt like I was going backwards, not forwards, because it all just was unraveling as I voiced a lot of things that I had not voiced since I was 4, 5, 6, 7 years old. And it has just been within this last year that it feels like the flowers are blooming. Like there is fruit that has come from all the hard work.
My best friend Stacy says something all the time that is worth saying here. She's like, do the work. This is the work, like the internal work of becoming a healthy disciple, a healthy mom, a healthy daughter, a healthy friend. I have been around women who did not know how or didn't have the courage to do the work. And guess what? Those around her with me, we pay for it. And I love Melissa, even in our friendship and me watching your friendships and your relationships, it's so obvious that you've done the work. So like just a little PSA for our friends, like this is part of becoming a woman who's more whole here.
Yeah.
Instead of just waiting for heaven to do all the work for us. No way. That feels like childish. It feels selfish.
And I know for, and this will be it on this subject, because this is not why we are gathered here today. two things. I've got two things. One is somehow it felt to me that ignoring it was the right holy thing to do. Isn't that weird?
Oh, that's so weird.
That felt very true. Like, get over it, Melissa. And tucking it away, and I'm putting quotes around, it felt like the right thing to do and just try to muscle through. It just felt so wrong to be talking about it and working on it. That's number one. So if anyone else understands what I feel, it's pushing through that with the help of God. Number two, my counselor, I could not imagine having done this without real professional help. And I know that's a privilege. It's expensive.
Sheesh.
You know, it's hard to find the right person. So I'm not saying that casually, but I am so grateful for a certified counselor. Like, she has gone to school. She has got the credentials. She's a professional. She knows what she's doing.
Yeah.
She happens to love God. But she also is very well trained. It's like going to, if you've got cancer, you know, you go to a doctor who has trained for years and is a professional to help you with something that serious. And with this stuff, mentally and emotionally, it was that serious for me.
For sure. That's a really great way to put it too. Okay. So, hey friends, Bible Lab, Melissa, we've been working on Bible Lab I've been working on it all of 2022 with you. You started working on it about
2021.
Yep, 2021. And I was on the outskirts of that, jumped in with you in 2022 because I was like, I think I'm going to understand and be more helpful to the thing if I could get in it with you. So you really started talking about it with me every couple months or then every few weeks in 2020. Do you remember what the things were that you started saying? And what we're talking about is, what's the genesis? What's the backstory of how we got here?
So we'll have to back up a little bit. When we were developing something called Truth Groups, which, by the way, is still around if you want to do a study with your friends that has no teacher, no leader, and you're guided by a book. We've got 5 or 6 books available.
And guess what? That freaks women out.
By the way, so transformational.
It's amazing. And it's like having your friends in your room, in your living room, and we're going to teach you you don't have to teach, because guess what? There's like the simplest process. Mm-hmm. I've learned this recently. Melissa talking about truth groups that people are like, wait, I don't want to do it because there's not a teacher.
Person guiding it.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Don't be intimidated. If you're curious, go to truthgroups.com and you can check it out there. But anyway, as we were creating Truth Groups, we were, you know, it hadn't launched yet. There was no book. We were gathering in Andy's house and we were doing this really just experimenting. We said that a bazillion times. We're just experimenting. And as we were doing this experimenting, I saw something start to happen that I have never seen before in a Bible study group. Now, I had experienced it with you, Andy, but I had not experienced it with other women. And what I mean is there was this collaboration of learning. And I mean, we were learning together. Her idea and her idea and her idea mixed in a way that produced a completely different idea that was so nuanced to us that we couldn't even pull the idea apart to say whose it was. It was all of our ideas. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And I get so jazzed by that. And I had never experienced it before. And, you know, we moved on, produced Truth Groups. And putting a process around something sort of minimizes some of that. But I had this dream in my heart of like, oh, I really want to experience true learning together.
I have a thought, and I just have to get it off my mind. When I was doing my doctorate program, I had a teacher who, she is a very distant mentor for me. Her name's Sally Selden. I was in her class, and do you remember me coming out of that class, Melissa, and being
yes.
like, something happened.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, Sally is a remarkable leader who was extremely busy for many reasons. And so she had this really bright idea. I'm not going to do all the work as the teacher to give the content. I'm going to put it on these students to be responsible enough and hopefully eager enough to actually teach themselves. So she put us in little circles of maybe 5, 6, 7 people with a content that she had given us, like stuff to read, stuff to watch, stuff to think about. And we had to formulate these ideas. And I remember coming to you, Melissa, going, Melissa, I'm experiencing this and it's working.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're developing together. There's like this synthesis, this synergy, this individuals coming together and the contributions and the way we each see it, perceive it, wonder about it, question it, doubt it. All of those things are formulating into something I've never experienced before. And do you remember me going, what if that could happen with the Bible? We're doing it in a secular environment about nonprofits. Like, surely this can work. And it's real. I forgot about that until this moment. So I had to get that off my mind. Because, Melissa, I do think that's what's happening at Bible Lab. But what we've said from the beginning is the Word of God is the central content. It is the point so that we could know God. So a couple questions for you. What are the tensions in Bible Lab? What are the things that scare you these days?
About Bible Lab?
Yeah.
Like now or in the beginning?
Either.
So, I mean, some of the speed bumps to doing this learning together is one, it's not, at least in my circles. So you friends who are listening, maybe you'd be like, no, I've seen this modeled. I personally have not seen it modeled very well. Now, I also have not been in higher education. So possibly if you've been in those sorts of circles, you would see it happening, but I haven't. And so when you don't have a model to follow, I think it makes it difficult. The other really big speed bump or tension is we are such an individualistic society. We think even in our relationship with God, primarily as my relationship with God, it's my morning devotion, which spoiler alert, yes, that's wonderful and beautiful and right. But we put like 90% of my relationship with God is individual. I'm making up a number, but, and 10% of it is in community. I think we've got that. I think we've got it mixed up.
Yeah, we're putting way too much stock. And therefore, it's why we've heard women more than ever. I heard it this year at the end of December and beginning of January. Mm-hmm. I am going to really get it right this time of my relationship with God. I'm going to try harder. I'm going to do more. I'm going to wake up earlier. I'm going to read through something speedy fast, thinking that if I just did more for God, hopefully with God, independently, that it would result in the relationship with God that we want. And Melissa, I got to say, since then, my eyes have been open as I'm reading scripture, and I'm not sure how much I see that.
And, you know, it was interesting in some of those friends that were saying that with real true hearts, and I think the intention to really love God and know God, would even say things like, I don't want to be so dependent on others around me to help me with my relationship with God. Mm-hmm. And I would like to just push back on that idea that it does not have to be either or. It can be an and. And that we experience God as we gather together. I could go on and on about that. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that you want me to.
So let's talk about Bible Lab. Give us a picture. What does it look like? And then we'll maybe unpack some ideas, but it's weird to unpack ideas without seeing what does this look like? For example, can I get us started? Mm-hmm. We're talking 8 to 10, ideally 5 to 7 women. So picture a really small group of women.
In a living room.
And there are a couple interesting ideas about Bible Lab. One is there's not the big thing of homework that, frankly, you and I and other things we've created put lots of work as the midweek work that the woman does between the sessions. Therefore, she should come back with, I don't know, the ones that you and I have written, like 10 or 12 or 14 pages of homework done that demonstrate my individual thinking. That's not true in Bible Lab. What is it instead?
Well, we call it think work because to be able to collaborate in learning together, one thing that we have realized is you do need to do some solitary think work on your own so that when we come back together, for those who are who like to process a little slower, can engage with the group. So we have something called think work that we do.
Can you give an example of what it would sound like?
Well, I'll give you an example for this week. What we're doing, we're looking at the birth of Jesus in Luke 2, and we do something called head, heart, hands for context. Context meaning it's getting to know the people and the places in the Bible as they were, not how we are or how we think they were. We actually go back and look at what did it look like, sound like, feel like, taste like to live in that day and age. What did they experience? And so this week, everybody has gone home and has picked one person from our scripture to do a head, what did they think? Heart, what did they feel? Hands, what did they do? So for me, I did Luke and got to know Luke last week in a way that was really special. So there is that type of work, but we bring that back together to then start collaborating our learning.
So it's interesting because that think work has been much more my inferences. It's not black and white. It's making this person come to life in a way that if we think is appropriate because we're going to take the facts from the Bible and fill in what we know about their context historically, socially, whatever, in that time. It's been a game changer for me.
It will help us. And the reason for that is we're not just doing it for kicks and giggles to be like, oh, I really love Luke, which, by the way, I really do love Luke, the writer of, obviously, the book of Luke. I do really like him, but it actually makes the text, the Bible, come alive. And now it changes the way I interpret because I'm looking from Luke or Mary or Joseph's point of view, not my 2023 Western vantage point.
Yeah, that's a game changer. And I think what we've seen is women be like, oh my goodness, I had no idea. And when we feel like we know or can relate to or understand the people God chose to be in scripture, and we feel like they're not against us or better than us, or we see them just as feeble as they really were, it makes us feel like we too are a part of their story of what God's been doing in a way that has been captivating. Okay, Melissa, there's another thing I want to ask you about. In this whole vein of learning together, first, you want to unpack that a little bit, because it's weird to think about. I'm trying to think of what somebody who may not have seen this approach before might think when they hear the term learning together. Here's what I would assume. If I were hearing this term, a Bible study where we learn together, that a teacher comes and says, here's what basically we should all learn or we should all know.
Right.
And we would call that learning together.
So that's not what we mean at all. So if you're thinking like a Sunday morning where we're all gathered in a church, shoulder to shoulder, and a teacher is teaching from the front, that collectively we're learning together. That's not what we mean at all. What we mean is that we not just hear from one another. It is more like, let's back up a couple steps and let's start talking about understanding one another. And that is that I'm not just hearing your words, Andy, but I'm really trying to understand you so that I can understand what you're saying, so that I could understand a different dimension of who God is through you. Because I've been thinking a lot about this, about the Gospels and how they're written from such a different perspective, same story, different perspective. And that's because we, as individuals, we see God through our own lens and we catch facets of him, beautiful facets of him that the other person doesn't catch. And if I can understand you in a way that helps me understand how you see God, I actually see God more clearly through you as you articulate and use your perspective. If I can slow down enough and listen and learn how to do it, it changes everything.
Yeah, I feel like this happens to us on the fly sometimes. For example, I felt like I really didn't understand one of my children, and I really felt like I did understand the other two. Well, this created such an awareness of like, oh my goodness, there's one child that I'm wired so differently, and that child's wired so differently compared to me. Melissa, I really prayed like, God, will you help me understand this child? And I felt like, okay, if I'm going to understand, I'm going to slow down. I'm going to listen. I'm going to look when this child's speaking, and I'm just going to hear and I'm going to ask questions. This has been a game changer because this child sees the world radically different than I do. Almost every element of it.
Which means then you get to start seeing, as you listen to them, you start to see the world a little differently, right?
And it's created wonder in me where there was not wonder before, and now I can rely on him. It's interesting. In a couple ways of like, hey, kiddo, what do you think about this or that? Mm-hmm. And I could see the areas that he really shines and brings a perspective and understanding that I don't have except for through him. And it feels like I'm seeing a little bit more vivid color.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And I think this is what happens in Bible app. When I slow down and when that person first learns to understand herself, because often I think as women, we perceive ourselves one way because we hope we're that way. Maybe we are, sometimes we're not. When I really start to know myself a little bit in some ways of how do I think? Why do I think that way? Oh, this is how I best express it. This is how I least best express it. It helps me know myself so that others can know me really well. And therefore, it's been a game changer because I'm not just seeing the Bible through you. I'm seeing it through Heidi and Kelly and Galen and Candy and Deb and on around the circle, giving me like HDTV view of scripture.
Yeah. And what that practically looks like in a living room is that we are trying to develop a culture that asks each other a lot of clarifying questions. Wouldn't you say that that's what's happening around the circle? Yeah. It's like, oh, wait, Candy. So when you said X, did you mean Y or Z? And she'll be like, no, neither of those. I meant B. And here's why. And so I love that a part of, we're starting to see a part of our culture is this clarifying questions and seeking to understand through slowing down, asking questions, leaning into one another, being curious at why someone thinks the way that they think. So
talk about the two parts of a typical night.
Okay. So because understanding is such a value for us, we want to understand one another so that we can understand God and the Bible in more dimensions. We've split up the nights. You would see, you know, 5 to 10 women in a living room. We have two parts to the night. The first part we call my group. This is where we do activities that center around understanding one another, how we think, mainly how we think and learn. So this week, what we'll do is we're doing head, heart, hands. And we will discuss with each other, am I head first, am I heart first, or am I hands first? Am I a thinker, am I a feeler, or am I a doer? And we'll plot that out, like in our worksheets that Andy makes for us. Then that's not really the point. The point is as we collect that, if you want to call it data, we look at it together as a group. Because Andy has pointed out probably 1,000 times that the lab part of what we're doing is, you know, if you, Andy always has her hands up pouring, like if you think about like clear beakers that you have, that if you're like in a science lab or you're doing chemistry and you've got, you know, one compound and you're mixing it with another compound to create a totally completely different compound. It's the same thing. As we collectively look at our strengths and weaknesses, it's not just individual. We're looking at the groups, like with all of our individual parts, we make up a whole. And so as we look at the whole, what is true about our specific group? As we mix our personalities and giftings that God has given us and our life experiences, what is left for our particular group? Because we are very unique. So that's the my group section where we'll learn to understand one another better. The second portion of the night is my Bible. And that's where together we focus on opening up the Bible and learning together.
Yeah, it's been super fun. What's the vision or the hope? I'm thinking transformative environments.
Yeah,
it's head, heart, hands.
It's to be a whole self learner. And the reason that we think doing this collectively is better, I would rather focus on collectively learning once a week, 2 hours, you know, 2 hours a week, collectively learning, because if I'm going to become a transforming learner, and that's what the ING, actively transforming, I have to be able to engage my head, my heart, and my hands, my thinking, my feeling, and my doing. But there's a problem. And that problem is, for me, I'm really weak in my hands. That means on my own, I can only strengthen my hands so much. I need to see lots of environment or lots of people in an environment showing me, actually, how do hands look in practice? For you, what's your weakest?
Hands, I think. I only see hands in one way. And last week there was one woman who was sharing just some really hard stuff that she's walking through, and to see Deb Kuntz next to her.
Oh my goodness.
Right.
Ugh. I want to point that out. We do like to call this out in each other.
Yeah.
And it wasn't the moment to do it, but Deb, who is heart first.
Yeah.
So authentically just grab her, hug her. And it felt like looking at it, or it looked like, the love of God being transmitted from one person to another in a way that would never be me.
I would never do that. But you know what, Melissa? I saw it and I experienced God.
That's right.
By watching it, it makes me kind of want to do it. Mm-hmm. Is just sit next to someone with my hand on her elbow just to say, I'm here. I see you. I hear you. And man, do I care. Like, that's what hands can look like in the moment. And hearing other people demonstrate hands of like, even another friend who was in a hard job situation, and how she said, I knew I didn't feel good about taking a job. And what she did was like, oh my gosh, that could be what some hard situations look like. She's like, God, I'm going to ask for something from the person, the employer.
I'm going to lay out a fleece.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say, hey, give me $5,000 more. That's what she did, Melissa, to just sort of test and wonder about what God was leading her to do. And for me, it's like, I have permission as a woman, because sometimes I feel like as a woman, I don't have permission to do those kind of things, to ask for more, to power up a little bit, but in a way that is, I don't know. It was like, oh, that's a totally appropriate thing.
Are you saying it gave you
thing.
An example of what you could do?
Yeah, totally. To hear her stories. Anyway, like to be around some people who are sharing some do's, feel like it's expanding my very narrow slice of the pie when it comes to my doing. And I am a doer, but it's often the same drum, the same rhythm, yeah. The same, like, these are the things that I do because they're kind of all I know to do. I want way more do's, and I'm learning them because I'm seeing the authenticity. I'm seeing and hearing, oh, that's how it relates to what we're learning. That's what it looks like. Oh, well, I could do that, or I would never do that, but I would modify it and do it this way. So that's been really, really powerful.
Yeah, so that's what happens when we gather around in a circle and our eyes are fixed on becoming transforming learners, which, by the way, learners equals disciples. That's literally what a disciple is. It means to be a learner. And so to do that, we just need more input, more examples, more real life living and learning together to make that happen.
So Melissa has been talking a lot about Bible Lab on the YouTube channel. What is it called?
Well, verbatim? There's nothing happening on the YouTube channel right this second, but coming back March. So wait, what are you talking about?
What's the name of the YouTube channel? It pops up for me, so I don't know the name.
So if you just search in YouTube, Melissa Dunn, I'll come up. I'm not the hair person, Melissa Dunn. I'm the Bible person, Melissa Dunn. So yeah, you'll be able to find it that way.
So if this is anything curious to you where you're like, I've been looking for something. And by the way, I hear from women leaders in our region where they're like, what should I be buying for women to do? Or I really want to do something a little bit different because we've done the same format time after time. If that would be you, or if you're like, I want to be around women in the Bible, I just don't know. We're not there yet. It's not ready and available. But what we can say is, if you just are curious, or if you feel encouraged, or if you feel wondery right now, go check out what it has looked like. Melissa's got Bible Lab videos, a slew of them on there from last session.
And you can just, if you find the channel, you can go to a playlist. If you go to the channel home, just click on playlist and you'll see that there's a My Bible Lab playlist. Just click on that. That's all the videos for Bible Lab.
And I'll try to keep you in the loop. Melissa, real quick. Actually, you tell me yes or no. If you had to say what the future of Bible Lab is in 2023.
It's still in development. That's what it is.
And we're doing Bible Lab, hopefully with more in the fall.
We hope so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a real slow grow. And it's been fun to get our heads deep in the sand and ask God, because society has changed so much from the plug and play videos and Bible studies we used to do. Listen, there's a reason why those aren't working anymore. Those worked 15 and 10 and 25 years ago. Society has shifted and we've sped along dramatically. And to expect what used to work a couple decades ago to work now, it's kind of crazy. It's like bringing out an Atari. Remember Atari's, Melissa?
Yeah.
And expecting those to be just as engaging as mm-hmm. things today. Like, we've got it way wrong. So it is time to be thinking about the Bible differently. And I don't mean radically differently. What are one or two elements that you can add to boxed DVD sets that are going to make it engaging? Or I know some of you guys are leading women and asking these questions, and I want to say a couple things. One, I'm asking the same questions. I'm not posing these things with answers. But two, I recognize like that it's a bit of a desert out there when it comes to current resources that have been really meaningful for women's ministry environments that are easy to access and easy to do. There's not many at all. But three, I'm inviting you to take the journey, because I'm not saying do Bible Lab, but maybe watching a couple of these videos will give you some ideas of what you can add to what you already have. Yeah. And that's what we're all about, is like, I want to help you do what God's called you to do in ways that you feel like are appropriate. So check out the videos. There might be a couple things to add to what you've got. All right, friends, until next time. Thanks, Melissa.
All right, we'll see you guys.